Morning. We're glad you're here. Glad you could join us this morning. This morning, at the end of the session, we're going to have the message. We move things a little bit forward. At the end, we're going to have some reports about what the church is doing. So we put those on the end. So we're going with the message here. My name's Nigel. If you haven't met, come and introduce yourself. Then we'll have met. All right. Okay. We've been going through this series on Exodus, on the book of Exodus. I hope you're getting something. I'm getting a lot. I was helped last week. As I went through my week, I was helped. Ian shared with us, who are you complaining to? If you were here last week, who are you complaining to? You complain to your spouse. You complain to your coworkers. Complain to yourself. Some of us do that in our mind. You know, God can take it. Complain to God. Much more profitable. Okay, anyway, that helped me last week. We're moving forward. We got more this week. Okay, Exodus. God reveals, God rescues. It's God's salvation in the Old Testament with Moses. Okay, God. Okay, and our title today is, who is your God? Who is your God? Who is God to you? In what way do you know God? That's what we mean. Who is your God? And we'll see that. Okay, now, bring you up to speed. Okay, we got a little video clip. Moses, okay, met God. God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And God charged Moses, right, to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And tell the people of Israel, God has appeared, manifested himself. This is your God. He's going to rescue you. Moses was sent, okay, to the people and then to confront Pharaoh to release his people. And Moses went. This was his first encounter with Pharaoh. And it didn't go well. It was not, you know, a triumph. In that sense, everything didn't go smoothly. And we're going to watch a couple of minutes to remind you where we're at in the narrative. And we'll take it from there. Okay, listen in. Okay, Pharaoh has an idea. Who's God? His idea. God has his idea. Okay, so Moses is rejected, rebuffed by Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron, right? Pharaoh does not go along. In fact, he makes things worse for God's people, right? And so Moses is blamed by Pharaoh and also blamed by the people, right? He's getting it from both sides. You made life harder for us, not better. So that's the situation we're in. And Moses goes to God. That's where we are. And now we're in chapter 6. We're going to read the verses. God is going to remind Moses, recommission Moses, show him, adjust him to help him go forward. So, Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. Then God spoke to Moses, telling Moses, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. In Hebrew, El Shaddai. God said, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. That's going back a number of generations, 400 or 500 years before. I appeared to them as God Almighty. In Hebrew, El Shaddai. El being God, Shaddai being the Almighty. But I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them, to Abram, Isaac, Jacob. Now he's doing it. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land they lived in as foreigners. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians have forced to work as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Okay? Therefore, Moses, tell the Israelites, I am Yahweh. Who am I? Who's God? I am Yahweh, and I will deliver you from the forced labor slavery of the Egyptians and free you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Yahweh, your God, who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land that I swore swore to give Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am Yahweh. He's underlining it, right? His promises, his commitment. I will, I will, I will. It starts with Y. I am Yahweh. It ends with I am Yahweh. That's God's name. Okay. So Moses, that's the message from God to Moses. Moses took this to the people. Moses told this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their broken spirit and hard labor. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go from his land. Same demand. But Moses said in the Lord's presence, if the Israelites will not listen to me, then how will they listen to, how will Pharaoh listen to me, since I am such a poor speaker? Then the Lord, Yahweh, spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them commands concerning both the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. God is still charging Moses, both in terms of the Israelites and in terms of Pharaoh. God is going to bring his people out. All right. He's going to do it because he's God, right? And in doing it, he's going to show people what kind of God they're going to learn, what kind of God they have. So God emphasizes, my name is Yahweh. That's my name. And Pharaoh's going to learn what kind of God I am through what's coming. Okay, so there's this matter again. The revelation of God's name. You know, this came up chapter 3. It comes back in chapter 6. It's God's unveiling. Who is God? And we're going to spend a few minutes here. You know, the main focus today is this point in the initial verses. God tells Moses, okay, I am Yahweh. That's my name. That's who I am. And he says to them, that there it is in Hebrew, read it from right to left. He said, I am that I am. Remember chapter 3? Say to Moses, tell the people, I am that I am. Right? I am sent me. Based on those, that meaning, significance, we get the letters YHWH, get the vowels from the relation to I am. God says, I am. We don't say I am. That's talking about you. You're talking about him. We say he is. God says, I am. We say he is. That's the response. Saying he is in Hebrew is Yahweh. Got it? He is. But that's not just a phrase, a title. That is God's personal name. God has a lot of titles. He's the rock. He's the high tower. He's our fortress. He's our hiding place. He's a lot of things. He's the spring of living water. You know, he's a lot of titles. Among all those titles, though, God only has one personal name. What is that? Yahweh. Yahweh is God's personal name. Right? And it helps if you get it right. You know, what's my name? My name's Nigel. I called in Swiss Chalet. I went to pick up my order. They said, we don't have anything under that name. I said, I ordered. They said, we got N-A-J-A-L. That's not, okay, I'll take that one. You know, it helps if you get it right. Okay, what's God's name? His name is Yahweh. Amen. All right, that's his name. You know, okay, then God is saying, okay, and it comes up. Let me go from here just a minute. Diversion. Okay, you say, wait, the long form, Yahweh, short form, Yah, Yah, Y-A-H, in Psalms, there's a verse. And a number of other places. Here's a verse. Psalm 68. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yah. His name is Yah. It's short form. Yah, Yahweh. Short form. Ronald Ron. Right? William Will. Yahweh, Yah. Got it? And rejoice in him. And you got the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is an Old Testament word. It's a New Testament word. It's a Hebrew word. And it's a Christian word. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Right? Notice. I know. You tell me, Nigel, they misspelt it. No, they didn't. Usually you spell it with a J. At the end, you look, right? Hallelujah. I know. In your Bible, it's spelt with a J. J is a recent, J is a newcomer. Sorry. In the alphabet, in the English alphabet, J is a newcomer. J was the last letter accepted. You go to Google it, but not here. You know? So they had to give a job to J because J was late at the party. So, you know, sometimes they offloaded some meaning onto J. But notice, hallelujah, you say hallelujah. You don't say hallelujah. If you went by the letters, you say hallelujah. You would be wrong. Sorry. English lesson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah way. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, 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 King of kings forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah way. Thank you. Okay, but notice, okay. So it's in the song. Hallelujah is praise. Hallelujah is praise. Hebrew, hallelujah, praise. Yah is Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. So you know, you read some translations. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it kind of implies praise the Lord. Literally, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Okay, it's in the Psalms, especially toward the end, Psalm 140, 50, and so on. But it's not only in the Old Testament, that's also in the New. You read Revelation, Revelation 19, there's a vision in heaven. There's a lot of hallelujahs. That's the hallelujah chorus. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's Revelation chapter 19. Hallelujah is in New Testament. What happens in heaven? The saying, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. All right? Why? Because that's his name. Amen? You got it? Now you know hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah implies God's name, Yahweh. All right, so it's not a new creature to you. You got it. Okay, now, the point is this. God comes to Moses and says, okay, Moses, you know, I'm doing something new. I'm doing more than what I did before. You know, I was known to Abram, Isaac, Jacob, but I reveal myself as El Shaddai, God Almighty. To Abram, to Isaac, to Jacob, I was known as El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El, God, Shaddai, Almighty, powerful, omnipotent, able. You want to say God is able? God is able. He is on our side. He will make. Okay, God is able is related to God being El Shaddai. That's how I was known to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how they experienced me. But Moses, now I'm doing something more. And you need to know me, and my people need to know me more in a deeper way, more inclusive way. As what? Not just El Shaddai and other things, but to know me, who I am Yahweh. That's my person. That includes everything. Not just one aspect, all aspects. That's the person of God, Yahweh. Okay, so, you know, El Shaddai, think about it. Think about Abram, Isaac, Jacob. You know, yes, God called them. Yes, they responded to God. But, you know, their experience of God was intermittent, periodic, occasional. You know, you read Genesis. When there's real difficulty, you know, when Abram really struggled, you know, I wanted a son. I produced Ishmael. That didn't work so well. God, you know, then God, I need help. I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't take it. I can't be it. God, help me. God came as God said to him, Abram, I am El Shaddai. You're not able. I'm able. I'm competent. I can do it. You know, God came in to help Abraham. Same with, think about Jacob. Jacob is at home, gets the birthright, gets the blessing, has to leave home, goes to Bethel, has a dream. Who appeared to Jacob at Bethel, at the ladder? Later, Jacob says, God appeared to me at Bethel as El Shaddai. El Shaddai. You know, I was away from home, a wanderer, going to a new area, not knowing what's ahead of me. I was in need. I called out. God responded. Who's he? He's El Shaddai. When I'm in need, he responds. He helps. He came in at that time. Then, brothers and sisters, friends, that's a good experience. But that's a beginning experience of God. You know, and I think many of us, you check. What's your initial experience? God, you know, when things are fine, maybe you don't pray much, you don't cry out much. When things are not so fine, that's when you pray. That's when you call. We're all approaching winter. Welcome to winter. You know, we have some snowbirds here. They're going to fly away. Most of us can't fly. We'll be here. Think about it. You, those of you who drive, who travel, when you know you're driving along, everything's fine. What happens when you're out of control? When your car's out of control? When you drive, I've had that. You're driving along, then the car. What do you do, Lord? Please keep hold of the steering wheel, Lord. Lord. I'm facing the wrong way on the highway. Ooh, Lord, help me. Right? You call, you pray. Why? Because you're in need. You're right. You're not in control. You need help. You need intervention. You call. God responds. That response, that experience is an experience of you and I. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Right? God helps me. God meets my need. God comes to my rescue. That's just El Shaddai. Came to Abram, Moses. Okay, that way. There's a, you know, there's a book and a movie last year or two. Louis Zamperini. He just passed away, age 90. If you haven't read the book is better than the movie. He was flying in World War II in the Pacific, flying an aircraft. The aircraft came down in the Pacific, a big bomber came down in the Pacific, crashed, is sinking in the Pacific. He's inside, the plane's breaking apart, his legs, the aircraft is sinking beneath the water, it's going down. His legs are caught in the wires in the plane, and he calls out, God, if you get me out of here, I'll be for you. Miraculously, his legs are free. He pops up to the top like a cork. He survives. He prayed to God. God, El Shaddai. Because he didn't use those words. God saved him. He went through a lot of trouble. POW, the whole story. Eventually. But he prayed at that time. God, help me, save me. I'll be whatever he uttered, you know. Then life was difficult. He went through. Eventually, 5 or more years later, then he got back. He was a hero. Then, you know, a lot of personal problems. He went to hear a message from Billy Graham. Billy Graham's preaching about Jesus, and he responds. He meets Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, he experienced God who helps him, El Shaddai, God who comes to the rescue, delivers, preserves him. Then he meets Jesus, right? There's something more, right? Amen. Okay, then that's the point. God is telling Moses, yeah, they had those experiences. If you look in your Bible, El Shaddai is early on. El Shaddai is mainly Genesis and Job, few other places. That's El Shaddai. Yahweh, the name Yahweh, you know, there's about 50 times El Shaddai in the Old Testament. But Yahweh is constant, right? Especially from Exodus on. 6,800 times in the Old Testament, God is Yahweh. Yahweh, that's all of God, God's personal name. That's who he is. From Exodus all the way to Malachi, he's Yahweh into Revelation. Amen? You know, God is telling Moses, okay, you need a deeper experience. I'm doing more. It's not just help God for you, God to intervene when you're in trouble. No, Moses, I'm God. I want to be God who, let me be God to you. Let God be God. Not just the God who helps you, not just the God who rescues you in trouble, but let me be God all the time. Not just God for you, but you for God. Right? El Shaddai is God for you, God helping you, God intervening. Yahweh is you for God. Right? God says there in that promise, I want to be, you know, yes, I will free you. I will deliver you. I will redeem you with the result. What? I want you to be my people and I will be your God. That's relationship. That's Yahweh. You are my people, God's people, and I am your God. We're in relationship. And in that relationship, I'm Yahweh, you're my people, and we have a relationship together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Right? So, then you say, what's the application in our life? Can we say, Lord, I want you more than just God for me, God who helps me, rescues me when I'm in trouble. Lord, I want God to be God, my God, Yahweh. That I'm for you in relationship, right? So we have some quotes from Tim Keller to help us. There he is. Nice man. Okay, you know, he says this. Think about your prayer. In our natural state, we pray to God to get things. We pray only when circumstances force us. Why? We know God is there, but we tend to see him as the means through which we get things to make us happy. But, you know, right? So what is that? We pray to God for things, for help, for, you know, God, I need a job. Or God, I need a better job. Okay? When you don't have a job, then you pray, God, I need a job. God, you know, I applied here. God bless me. Help me. I need a job. I need a better job. You pray, 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 pray. And maybe God's not answering. Actually, God's happy. Now you're praying. When you had a job, you didn't pray. Now you don't have a job, you pray. Praise the Lord. I think I'll extend this a little bit. You say, why didn't God answer right away? God enjoys your conversation. Now you got a need. Now God is on the phone. God, I need help. God, help me. Amen. And God comes through. Okay, now you got a job. Are you still going to pray? Now you got the better job. Are you still praying? Or you say, God, see you later. That's El Shaddai. No, let God be God. Yahweh, when I don't have a job, I pray. When I do have a job, I still pray because I want God in my life. Okay, so in a natural state, that's the way we pray. God, when I'm in trouble, if I'm okay for 5 years, then things go badly. Then I pray, etc. That's El Shaddai. Let's go on. Brothers and sisters, let's have God as Yahweh. God as he is. Okay, there's another, he says this, and this is related to Paul's prayer in Ephesians. The longer quote's in the material. Okay, Paul, you know, it's Paul's prayer is not for things. Think about Ephesians, you know, right? Think about those prayers. Paul sees it's prayer and interaction with God for full knowledge. Paul sees this full knowledge of God as more critical than a change of circumstances. He's not praying, change this. He's, God, I want to know you. I want a relationship with you, deeper relationship. It's more crucial than a change of circumstances. Knowing God is better than what we must have above all. Knowing God is better than the things. If we are to face life with all in any circumstance, have God as God above all things. Then God is, we're for God, not just God for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's let God be Yahweh. Yahweh to us. God as God. He is not just him for us. We're for him. We're lined up with him, cooperating with him. Okay, that is why, let's transition here. Praise the Lord. We want to be for God. That God could, we work together with God and we do things together with God. That's what, with this church, Vision 2020, right? That started out with bringing it, everyone interested together. What do we feel God wants to do among us? What does God want to achieve? What does God, kind of church do we feel God wants us to be by 2020? Hence the name Vision 2020. It's not about contact lenses, optical, whatever. It's about where we feel God wants this church to be. That's this booklet, and that's the, we ask people respond. How do you feel also God wants you to fit in with this, right? What's your part in this whole thing? Okay, we've been putting things in operation, and we'd like just to take 15 minutes to present to you a few things God has done. We're going to ask this. Okay, first we got Shirley to come up. Right? And we got the mic here. And she's going to tell us. Okay, you good?
I just want to talk a little bit about the women's ministry. Here in the church in Toronto for years, we've had a women's Bible study on Tuesday mornings. And I feel like during that meeting, there's the level of genuineness and openness has surpassed what I've experienced in other meetings. But this is on Tuesday morning, and not many sisters are actually available Tuesday morning. So when we had Vision 2020, I was hearing again and again, that there was the heart of the saints here was that there would be something more for women's ministry. And so then a few of us met together, and we planned our first event for Sisterhood, our women's ministry we've been calling Sisterhood, and we had our first event. Now, in 2013, we actually had a sisters' retreat, which was a weekend away, and it was really wonderful, really sweet, very profitable, with our sister Diane Decker sharing. But we felt this time that we should bring it home, that it should be something local, brief, just one evening, and free, and hopefully more frequent. So our desire for the sisterhood events is, firstly, that we would know one another, and then that we would, actually, sisters of all ages could know one another, so we strongly encouraged, especially the young people, to join in, along with all the other sisters of all ages, and that we would know one another, and that we would know, each one would know that they have intrinsic value to God and to the church, that they would know that they are not alone in their struggles, and that they could receive encouragement and become an encouragement and strength to one another. So our first sisterhood event took place on Friday, November the 13th. We called it You Make Me Brave. And we had a good turnout. There were about 75 to 80 sisters coming that evening. It was really good turnout. And there was a real labor of love in preparation for a sweet evening with lovely decor and games, photo booth, worship led by City Youth sisters, and inspiring speakers and refreshments. Sister Ann Wolger shared a testimony about her journey with God leading up to the establishing of Matthew House. And sisters were really touched by her account, you know, with her interactions with God, especially she would call the Father Abba, you know, like this was her intimate fellowship that, you know, it wasn't just a project, you know, that got fulfilled. It was an interaction with God and a growth. And then Faith wrapped up with a passage from Matthew 14 of Jesus walking on the water and Peter stepping out of the boat. And I think that if there were any sisters whose eyes were dry by the time Anne finished sharing, then at least by the time Faith finished, there were not many dry eyes. The Lord blessed us with a good beginning, and we made mistakes, you know, when we stepped out of the boat, but we are learning who to call on when we start sinking. So we're looking forward to more sisterhood events, and hopefully the next one will be in February.
Amen. Okay, we got Brother Pat. Okay, yeah, good, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Nigel. I'm Brother Pat. Maybe this is the first time for you to see me here on the lectern. First of all, I am a warrior of men back in the Philippines. I've been in the army for 31 years. And this time, when I got to Canada, I became a prayer warrior. Prayer warrior. So I'm here now to give you an update on the prayer ministry that the leadership has given me. So that in response to Vision 2020, where one of these strategies is fundamental, it says here, value and practice constant prayer, both individual and collectively. I feel that we really need prayer here in our church, every day of our lives, wherever we are. And to do this, we devoted 5 Sundays of the month of August to teach about prayer. Yes, with the few things that I have I've learned in prayer, I stood on the gap and did this thing. And on the final Sunday of August, we formed 3 groups, and it was to compose the prayer ministry. And surely this will address the internal prayer concerns, issues, and problems, the external issues, concerns, and problems, and special. Now, what makes the third group special? It makes it special because it will be concerned in praying for the programs of this church. We really need to pray for the programs of this church. Then, we have a corporate prayer every 9 o'clock on Sundays. And another team is made available to attend to the prayer concerns of the saints here in this church. So that I invite those who have issues and concerns and problems in their lives. Then after the service, you can go straight to our prayer room. A team will attend to you. And lastly, we really need prayer warriors in this church. And I'm calling on everyone, for those who have burdens in prayer, please join us. This is really very important and very critical in our church, especially during these times where there are a lot of concerns that we are going to pray about. So become a prayer warrior. Join us.
So So if you any matter you want to pray, actually even today we have a prayer right after this session. Yes, yeah, sisters. The sisters are going to share about Scott Mission. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Is this on? My name is Hannah, and this is Jennifer, and we're just a few of the members of the Scott Mission service team here in Church in Toronto. I guess so one of the important highlights of Vision 2020 was that there seems to be a burden amongst us in the church for to do more outreach amongst the needy in Toronto. So one of the primary ways that we went about of doing that is through partnering with the Scott Mission, which is a Christian organization in downtown Toronto that primarily helps the needy and the homeless and the GTA. So for a number of years, we've been supporting faithfully and generously the work of the Scott Mission through our donations of food and clothing right there. If you guys aren't aware, there's a white box right there for the Scott Mission. And a few of us in the congregation have also been supporting the Scott Mission financially. And us in the Scott Mission service team think that that's great and that's very encouraging and that we should all continue to do that. But this year we also plan to do something a little bit different where we kind of target the more specific and pressing needs of some of the clients at the Scott Mission throughout the year. So one of those needs would be produce, so fruits and vegetables, because a lot of the people that the Scott Mission serve, they're either homeless men on the streets who, if they're not getting fed by the Scott Mission, they're basically living off of cookies, bags of chips, things like that, things that are very unhealthy. And a lot of our clients there also are financially unstable, so they're not even able to provide healthy options for their own children and let alone themselves. What we're doing what we hope that all of us at church would do is to be a part of our produce drive. So from November to January, every Sunday, we encourage everyone here to bring a bag of fruits and vegetables like cauliflower, oranges, bananas, things that don't spoil that much. And we're going to have a metal rack just beside our white box. So we encourage everyone to bring something every Sunday, and we have a very generous brother who would be taking all of those donations to the Scott Mission the next day. So we just hope that you guys will be encouraged to do that. And it might seem like a little thing, but just from my firsthand observations, even something like a bag of oranges means a lot. Like means a big deal to some of our clients at the Scott Mission. So it's just like even something small like a bag of apples, it's just a beautiful testimony of how gracious and loving our God is. No bananas if that's possible. Well, they rot easily according to Jennifer. But okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I think that's encouraging, right? So, okay, different ways you can, you want to pray with the church, pray for the church. There's that opportunity. You want to help practically, okay? Get your apples, oranges, broccoli, cauliflower. What else? What? Carrots, potatoes, squash, bok choy. No, not bok choy. Okay, sorry, no bok choy. Okay, anyway, next week, right, on the rack will be out there, okay? And then with sisters, look forward to the coming time. Okay, let's just we'll close in prayer. God, we thank you. You're the faithful God. Thank you for what you've done in every life here. We believe, Lord, you've blessed us in many ways, and we thank you. Thank you how you've intervened in our lives. Lord, and we believe you have more you want to do. You want to do with each of us, each family, each person here. Lord, so we pray for this week. Pray, make us sensitive to you, to what you'd have us to do, how we can respond to you. Lead and guide us, we pray, and bless us as we go forward this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen? Okay, we finished early. Woo! Right. Okay, so don't feel you have to run. You've got at least 5 minutes.